Everyone who lives in our world should believe in God. I don't mean that in the sense of moral obligation, though that is also true. I mean that in the sense that everyone who dwells in this world, who dwells under the heavens, everyone who has ever felt the heat of the sun, seen the light of the sun, or seen anything because of the light of the sun, the most natural and expected faith to have for that person is in God. Just the sheer magnificence of the created order, the size, the magnitude, the apparent design, the fact that we live in a world so perfectly suited that we can live, all of these things push us to believe God, to believe in God. In fact, throughout history, even after man and woman, Adam and Eve, were driven out of the garden and no longer in that fellowship, that direct fellowship with God, the most natural thing for people was to look around and say, somebody bigger than us did this. In the exact same way that I look at this lectern and realize that there is a carpenter somewhere, the most natural and expected faith for someone is to look at this world with its order and its design and its sheer magnitude and say, there must be a creator somewhere. Now, I understand that in our modern or postmodern, or as some folks are even now saying, our post-postmodern day, we might push back against my saying that. And the reason for that is because over the last 200, 300 years, there have been those who have been militantly rebellious against God that are trying to train out of us, even as infants and children, the faith and belief in God. But as we go through history, the reality is we see that the great majority of people of all time looked around and said, somebody put this here. And Psalm 19 demonstrates that for us in those first couple of verses that Sawyer read just moments ago. What an amazing revelation it is for us to look around at the sun and the stars and the moon, to see how the water cycle works, to recognize even now that we've been able to develop microscopes and look down at the cells in our own skin and our own blood and be able to see the handiwork of God. All of that declares His handiwork and cries forth His praise. And what a wonderful, wonderful point of revelation we have. God revealing Himself, the Creator revealing Himself through creation. And yet, for all that creation can reveal, it cannot reveal everything. For all that creation can teach us, it does not teach us everything. For all that creation does, it does not do everything. Psalm 19 demonstrates that to us after talking about the creation, and then tells us about the law of the Lord, or the testimony of the Lord, or the precepts of the Lord, the commandment, the fear, the rules of the Lord, all of these synonyms for the word of the Lord. And what we discover is that we need the word of the Lord because creation, for all that it can do, it cannot revive or give life to the soul. It cannot make wise the simple. I guess it's possible that creation can rejoice the heart, and yet not to the degree that the revealed word of God can. It cannot, creation cannot enlighten the eyes. And as solid as creation feels, it will not endure forever. It is not righteous altogether. That is the revealed and inspired word of God, and we need that. And so David tells us how much he desires it there in Psalm 19 and verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. He says, for all of the wonderful things that we learn from creation and God's revealing of Himself there, he says, what we need is His word. We need His laws. We need His rules. We need His statutes. We need His testimonies, His precepts, His orders, His way. We need Him to reveal His mind to us. And that is exactly what He has done in the word that has come through the apostles and prophets, through the Holy Spirit, as He has revealed Himself. And what we need to do is spend time in it. And that's one of the things that's really important to us here. One of the things that is very important to us here as Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue is to be in the Word. And not only to be in the Word, but to be in the Word together. To be in the Word in a way that we can talk with one another about the Word and reading the Word and studying and learning from one another. And so consistently for years, we have put together various kinds of annual Bible reading plans. We typically do this going around the school year and not the calendar year. So here we are in September, and some of you just recently started school. Anybody recently start school? A couple of you, yeah. Okay. I'm not asking you to lift holy hands. You could just say, yeah, I'm going to school. Some of you are. Okay. A few over here, are you guys going to school? Are y'all listening? Okay, just making sure. Okay. Yeah, so school year has started. We're starting our new Bible reading plan. Joe mentioned this to you. I know that about half of you accidentally drop these out of your programs because that's what happens when we stuff things inside the program. But we have this yellow piece of paper that has our annual Bible reading plan in it. We're going to go back to the Old Testament this year. We were in the New Testament this past year. We're going back to the Old Testament, and we're going to pick up where we left off in the Psalms. And so this year, we're going to read, and we call it an immersive Bible reading program. We're going to read from Psalm 54 to Psalm 105. And the way we do that is we're going to read one psalm every week. However, what we're going to ask you to do is to read that psalm every day of the week. Read that psalm every day of the week. And there's some benefit just by reading the same psalm or at other times chapter. And hey, by the way, can I just point this out to you? While we're reading the psalms, please, please, nobody, and I'm saying this and I know you're going to do it now just because I asked you not to. Don't talk about Psalms chapter 19. Could you imagine if someone said, hey, we're about to sing song chapter 25? And if Ben or Matt had said, yes, today we're going to sing ancient words, songs chapter 115, whatever it was. That's not how the Psalter works. The Psalter is poems, it is songs, it is psalms. So we're going to talk about Psalm 119 this morning. We're going to read Psalm, not Psalm chapter 54. We're going to read Psalm 54 this week. Pet peeve, you won't go to hell if you disobey me on this one. I just won't like you for the rest of your life. Obviously, I'm just kidding, and I need to probably take this a little more seriously because we are talking about the Word of God. We're going to be reading a psalm. We're going to be reading a psalm a week. We're going to be reading that psalm every day of the week. But we're going to add in a twist this year, something to benefit and help us. We're going to add in a plan for meditating on God's Word. And I wish I could take complete credit for this all on my own. But the reality is I got this idea from another. Does anybody remember Sarah Roberts? Now Sarah Wisenhunt, used to be a member here, was one of our college students, then came back. Her dad is a gospel preacher in Texas, Mark Roberts. And this is something that I learned from him. I tweaked it a little bit, added a little bit into it. But what we're going to talk about this year is reading in paths of righteousness. Reading in paths of righteousness. Of course, we've taken that phrase, paths of righteousness, from Psalm 23. We know that is where our shepherd leads us, in paths of righteousness. But for those of you who have heard sermons before and seen PowerPoint before, you know all those periods and capital letters means I'm going to make an acrostic. It's a mnemonic device to kind of help us out. And so what we're going to do is we read through our Bibles, reading the same psalm every day of the week. We're going to have this acrostic, this mnemonic device, to help us direct our minds in meditation upon the Word of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning. Just our plan, walk through it, help us understand how we're going to do this. And I hope all of us can do this together. Before I explain this, would you please bow with me in prayer? Glorious God, you are magnificent. We love you so much. You are our shepherd. Because you are our shepherd, we lack nothing. And everything you give us is exactly what we need. We don't always realize that. Sometimes we want more. But Lord, your grace is sufficient for us. And so we hang on to you and we hang on to what you've given us. And we know that you will indeed work all things together for good for we who love you. We're very thankful that you've given us your word. We pray that you would help us this morning to open our hearts a little bit to some ideas about meditating on the Word, that each of us will commit to being involved in reading your Word on a daily basis, that we will immerse ourselves in your Word, and that we will meditate upon your Word. Lord, lead us in your paths of righteousness. Let your Word shine its light upon our path. And may we bring glory and honor to you because of what we gain from your Word, bearing fruit that honors your name. Lord, we do love you so very much. Thank you for loving us first. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to begin by talking about this idea of read and meditate. We want this year to not only read, but to take our reading to another level by making sure that we are reading and meditating, spending some time thinking about it. Did you catch the very last verse of Psalm 19 that saw you read moments ago? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The very first psalm that you will read as you open the Psalter, Psalm 1, begins by saying, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Meditation is a part of our involvement with the Word of God. In fact, I want to spend most of our time this morning in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, we learn a great deal about God's Word. It's perhaps one of the most intense discussions of the Word of God. There are 176 verses in Psalm 119. 172 of them, that's all but four, use one of those eight synonyms for the Word of God to refer to it. And I think an argument can be made for the other four that they're using lesser known synonyms. But all but four of them use those main synonyms, testimonies, rules, precepts. All of them use those. Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. And if you look in Psalm 119 and verse 97, this particular section, Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104, the concept of meditation rises to the top. Here's what he says in Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. He says, I make your word my meditation all the day, morning, noon, and night. I think about your word. In fact, because I meditate on it, it makes me wiser than my enemies and also my teachers. I can be smarter than my professors if I spend a great deal of time meditating upon God's word. Meditation leaves me away from every false way, and it keeps me from sin and evil. But please understand what meditation is. I hope you can even see this just from what we've read here. Today, the Eastern mystics have stolen the word meditation away from us, so that when I say meditate, most of us picture somebody sitting on the floor, legs crossed, fingers touching, humming or repeating some word, trying to empty their mind so they can become one with the universe. An ungodly principle. One that goes against the Word of God, is not how we worship, and is not what meditation is supposed to be. This is not the meditation that we find in the Bible. Meditation in the Bible is not emptying your mind. Meditation in the Bible is filling your mind. Meditation in the Bible is filling your mind with God and His things. Meditation in the Bible is filling your mind with God and His Word. And that's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to be doing this year. As we read God's Word, we don't just want to read it and then set it aside and go on for our day. We want to read it and we want to spend some time focusing on it, filling our hearts and minds with it. And so that's where the paths of righteousness come in. I want to give us some ideas, some things to meditate on every day. And so every week on Sunday, we're just going to use that as a time to be introduced to the psalm. I hope that every Sunday you'll read that week's psalm. Just spend some time reading it. Think about it in general. Maybe read it together with your family or your spouse. But just be introduced to it. Just get into it and kind of let it roll around in your mind, in your head. Let it be on your tongue. And let it be like honey in your mouth. And let the words of God be introduced to your soul. But then what we're going to do on Monday when you read it again, we're going to recognize that the Word of God is designed to do some things for us. We understand from the beginning of Paul's letter to the Ephesians that every aspect of our life is supposed to be about bringing glory and honor to God. And so our time in the Word is no different. What we need to understand is that as we read the word, it should produce praise within us. Things that cause us to bring honor and glory to God. So back up there in Psalm 119, and let's read in verse 89. Listen to the praise that our psalmist provides right here in Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. Man, doesn't that sound like an amazing God? You agree with me? That sounds like an amazing God? Yeah. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I'll never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Listen to the praise. Listen to the glory. Listen as he magnifies God and demonstrates his worth and value. This is our God, and he is worthy of praise. And honestly, I'm glad that we're starting these paths while we're in the Psalms, because if you want to talk about a place where it's easy to find things that help us praise God, it's the Psalms. The Psalms give us language with which to praise God. And so what we want to encourage you to do is on Monday, having been introduced to the Psalm the previous day, on Monday as you read it, take some time. Maybe buy a notebook. Buy a notebook and set Monday and write praise underneath it. And then just in that Psalm, for that day, spend some time thinking about what in this Psalm leads me to praise God. Why can I praise him? Because of what is in this psalm. What do I learn about God that causes me to want to lift up his name and recognize how amazing he is? So on Monday, we're going to read and we're going to meditate on praise. We understand, of course, that the word of God is not simply designed to make us say things, not merely to honor and glorify God with our mouths, but also to do it with our lives by doing what he says. Perhaps the passage that we most commonly relate to the Word of God and the study of it, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Many of us know this passage. If you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to look it up and read it and get to know it. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "For all Scripture is inspired by God. It's breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The purpose behind Scripture and the Word of God is to teach us and reprove us and correct us and train us in righteousness. It's intended to make us equipped for every good work. There is a word that we don't commonly use that actually kind of encompasses all of this. And that's the word admonition. To admonish. To admonish. This word, I recognize when we hear it, we typically think that it has to do with the reproving and the warning, and that is part of it. But if you look up the definition of this word, you find out that this word encompasses not only warning people to stop things, but it also includes the idea of urging people to start things and urging people to continue things. It includes that idea of encouraging people to continue on in obedience. And so what we find is that the Scripture is intended also to admonish us. We sang a song just a few moments ago. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We find that in Psalm 119, verse 105. Read with me Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. Your word, he said, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are a joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. He says, I am going to direct my heart. I'm going to direct my heart to follow what you say, because your word, Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It admonishes me. There's application for my life. Not just that I start the day out by reading God's word and meditating on it and praying some praise and thanksgiving to God, but that I spend my day doing what it says. It's admonishing me. It's directing me. There's some things that it's telling me, look, stop that. There's some things that it's telling me, you need to start this. There's some things that it's saying, hey, keep doing this. Do it better. There's some things that it's saying, hey, you're doing great at this. Keep it up. but it's admonishing us. And so on Tuesdays, having spent some time on Monday recognizing how the psalm encourages us to praise God, on Tuesdays, let's spend some time meditating. Again, get yourself a notebook. Tuesdays, admonition. What application, what admonition do I find in this week's psalm that directs me and teaches me how I'm supposed to live? Are there some things I need to stop doing because of what I've read in the psalm? Are there some things I need to start doing because of what I've read in the psalm? Let me spend a few moments just thinking about that and jotting that down and taking some notes. So on Mondays, we're going to talk about and think about praise. On Tuesdays, we're going to think about admonition. And then on Wednesdays, we want to focus on trust. Trust. In Psalm 119 and verse 41, we're going to read in Psalm 119 and verse 41 through 48. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. When Yahweh wanted to define himself, he descended in the presence of Moses, and he passed by and covered him in the cleft of the rock, so that he wouldn't see his face and die, but he could see the hinder parts of God's glory. I think was the way that King James said it. And as he passed by, God described himself and he said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, abounding in loyal love and faithfulness. That's our God. Loyal, steadfast love and faithfulness. Our God is trustworthy. He is not fickle. He does not change and shift. He is someone we can trust. And so the psalmist, as he takes a look at God's word, he says, I trust in your word. Why? Well, we read in Psalm 19, it endures forever. The world's not going to endure forever, but God's word is going to endure forever. We can trust it. We can base our lives on it. He says, my hope is in your rules. We're going to talk about hope in just a moment, but notice that concept of trust right there. And so we want to recognize as we read these psalms, as we study God's word on Wednesday, what we're going to ask you to do is spend some time as you read that psalm, meditating and thinking about and jotting some notes down. What do I find in this psalm that helps me trust God? What do I find in this psalm that causes me to believe that he is one who keeps his promises? What do I find in this psalm that reminds me that I can take his word to the bank? And I can live based on this word. And in the end, that will mean all things work together for my good. I want to spend some time meditating each week on why I can trust God. Why I can trust God based on that psalm. Now, of course, we pointed out there in Psalm 119, verse 42 and 43, we saw a connection between the word trust and the word hope. But we want to dig deeper on Thursdays. On Thursdays, we want to take this a little bit farther and we want to take a look at the idea of hope in God. Look in Psalm 119, verses 113 through 120. Notice how hope rises to the top here. 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise that I may live. And let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. He says, I hate the double-minded. I hate it when people try to put their hope in two different things. Those who are not singularly devoted to God, whose hope is not placed in God, but I love your law. Why? Because you are my hiding place. You are my shield. When I am being attacked, when I am being persecuted, when the enemy is coming against me, I know where I can run and find refuge and protection and help. And Lord God, that is you and that is your word. That is where my hope is. You see, what our enemy wants to do is cause us to despair. Our enemy wants to attack our hope and undermine the hope that we have. Because here's the deal. We are, as we have discussed before, but it's been a while, living in the interim. You remember when we've talked about that in the past? Living in the interim. Living in the interim of what? We're living in the interim between when God has given His promise and when God has fulfilled His promise. The interim between when God has given His promise and when God has fulfilled His promise. And you know, there are plenty of days in the interim that are fine, that are wonderful, that are great, that it's easy to trust and obey and give thanks and praise. But there are some days in the interim before God has fulfilled His promise that are really, really hard. There are some days when the enemy attacks and would overwhelm us and would cause us to believe that our hope is foundationless, that we have nothing to hope in and nothing to hope for, that it's always going to be as bad as it is on that day and it's never, ever going to be any better. And of course, then there are those times when here on this earth we get everything we could possibly want. It's our birthday. And everything on the list, we got. And after we've opened the boxes and we've played with the toys and we put on the clothes and we've said, really? Is that it? And even when we have the best, we start to be discouraged and despair that maybe there is no hope. But what the Scripture demonstrates to us is that God has a promise for us. He has a kingdom that is here, and yet is coming in fulfillment ultimately in eternity, the heavenly kingdom. And it's a place where there is joy and blessing forevermore. At the right hand of God, Psalm 16 tells us, are joys and pleasures forevermore. And we won't sit there in that time saying, is this all there is? It'll be amazing. But right now, what Satan wants to do is make you believe that's not true. Because God doesn't always behave the way we want Him to behave. Because He doesn't respond to our prayers the way we expected Him to respond to our prayers. Because the enemy seems to gain the upper hand at times. Because life is a struggle. And it is. Satan attacks us and tells us we have no hope. And we give up on God. And so, on Thursdays, as you read the psalm, what I encourage you to do is spend some time. What in this psalm gives me hope? Because I'll tell you what we'll find. There are a lot of psalms that are prayers in the interim. In fact, one of the hardest parts about the psalms, for me, and if you listen to text talk as we go through the psalms, as I know you all do, text talk, excellent podcast, one of the best. Andrew Roberts, outstanding. I try hard. But as you listen to text talk, one of the things that we struggle with is the number of psalms where it is about the bad days. And there does come a point which you start to say, wow, is being in God just always bad days? No, it's not. I mean, there really are a lot of good days. But the good days don't give us problems. So they don't write a whole lot of psalms about the good days. The good days are easy to make it through. It's the hard days we need help with. And there are a lot of psalms that are prayers about the interim. About the fact that God has given a promise. In fact, Psalm 119, if you read it, you actually realize this is a psalm that's in the interim. Because he's talking about how much he reads God's word and he doesn't understand why he's got enemies attacking him. And so he's begging God to be with him because he has hope in his word. It's a prayer in the interim. And so I want to encourage you, are you in the interim? Spend some time in the psalms. But as we're going through our reading plan on Thursdays, we want to spend some time meditating on the hope that God's Word gives us. Why can't I put hope in God and in His Word? Get yourself a notebook. Write some things down. Every once in a while, go back through it and just read. What have I learned from this about having hope in God? And then finally, we want to recognize that the Word is not just for us. The Word is not just for us to read and spend some time thinking about. The Word is also for us to talk about. And so we want to talk about sharing. Sharing the Word of God. If I could get to the right passage. Well, where did it go? There it is. 73 through 80. Yod. I shouldn't have tried to memorize it based on the Hebrew letters since I don't know them that well. Psalm 119, verse 73 through 80. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in the faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. In verse 74, he talks about the fact that those who fear the Lord will look at us. We who put our hope in the Word, we who read God's Word, who meditate on God's Word, who trust God because of His Word, who put our hope in God and His Word. He says the people who fear God, they will be able to look at us. And because they look at us, they will be able to rejoice. Our mere lives, as we are in God's Word and living by God's Word, will prompt others to rejoice. But notice specifically verse 79. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. Let me have been in your word so much that when others who fear you come to me, I can tell them your testimonies. They can see them in me, and they can hear them from me. God has given us His word, and we can share it with others. And so on Friday, spend some time thinking about, what in this psalm would I share with someone else? And I will tell you, if you listen to Text Talk, that'll help. It'll make it easy because when we're in the Psalms on Friday, those of you who listen to Text Talk, remember, because I know some of you do, in the Psalms on Friday, who do we always find? Find Jesus. It's always a good Friday on Text Talk because we find Jesus in every one of these Psalms. He's there. Not just the ones we call Messianic. He's there. He's there in all of them. And what more could we do than share Jesus with others, even from the Psalms? So on Friday, we want to spend some time thinking about what we can share with others from this reading. On Saturday, we're going to leave that up to you because we realize things happen throughout the week. You miss some days. I miss days. It happens. If you made all five of the days, that's fantastic. Then use Saturday as kind of a summary and a reminding yourself what you thought about that week. That's fine. But on Sunday, we're going to be introduced to the psalm. On Monday, we're going to think about praise. Tuesday, admonition. Wednesday, trust. Thursday, hope. Friday, sharing. And then on Saturday, it gets to be kind of a catch-all and clean-up to summarize and remind yourself what you got out of the week. But that's what we want to do, because what we want to do is read in paths of righteousness. This is what we're doing. If you get one of those yellow sheets of paper, you can find out how to get to Text Talk. But if you want to listen to Text Talk, if you listen to podcasts in any podcast app, you can search for it and find it. We're going to be kicking off with Psalm 54 tomorrow. In addition to that, for 8 years now, on our reading plan, we've had an online devotional, something that you can read every day. You can have it come to your email inbox. We've got the address for that also in that yellow paper. And usually Text Talk begins there and says, okay, here's what we got, and we're going to move on from that. So you can have your own reading, your own meditating. It's a little bit of a guided study there on our blog. And then the Text Talk discussion. And I think if you did all of that, you'd be in the Word. And the Word would be in you. I think it'll help. Now, I do just want to say this one thing. What if you miss a week? What do most of us do when we miss a week? Well, when we've missed 1 week, we try to catch up, right? Oh, 1 week. That's just, and especially the way we're doing it, that's just reading a psalm, no biggie. But what about when you miss 2 weeks? Or maybe three. Anybody ever miss 3 weeks in their Bible reading plan? Mike has two. I appreciate that, brother. Solidarity. Okay, good, Seth. All right, good. I'm not the only one. Okay. What do we do when we miss 3 weeks? Come on, guys. We quit, don't we? Anybody else ever do that, miss 3 weeks, and decided I'll start again in January? It's too bad. It's February, but I'll start again in January. Here's one of the really good things about the way we're doing this. Our goal is not to get through any set amount of text in any given time so that if you miss a few weeks, you're behind. That's not the way it's set up. I'll tell you how it's set up. It's set up so that if you miss a few weeks, jump in where you are. Just jump right in. And you know what? If you've been listening to Text Talk and all of a sudden there's 25 episodes in backlog and you're like, well, I'm not going to listen today because I don't have time for 25 episodes. As much as it pains me, look, just delete those 25 episodes and listen to today's and move on from there. It's really okay. I know this happens because I actually get to look at the mechanics, and it's amazing how many people listen to the first day of every year and the first chapter of every book. And, phew, tons of people. And then a week later, drops off. And I know that's not because of the hosts. Maybe a little. Anyway, I know what we want to do is we want to have these disciplines. And so one of the reasons we've set it up this way is that, look, if you've missed a week, if you've missed 2 weeks, it's okay. Just cut it off and start where you are. And just keep going. Because what we want to do is not get so much read in a year or a month. It's just today, I'm focusing on God. So today I'm going to be in His Word. So let's just be in His Word today. I really hope that this will help you. If you didn't get one of these yellow pieces of paper in your program, that's okay. They are at every exit. You can pick up one of these. And it explains everything I said in this lesson in a much more succinct way. And also has the addresses for Text Talk and for the devotional blog. Love for you to be a part of that. If you'd like to, you can put all your notes away and your Bibles. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. The reason why we want to share God's Word is because God's Word is truth. And it's truth that sets us free. It's truth that sets us free not from the oppressions of the world, not from any kind of necessarily struggle and turmoil and trial that the world is placing upon us or people in the world, but the slavery that we've placed upon ourselves because of our sin. Jesus says the truth will set you free, and we want to be in the Word because the Word is God's truth. We share it with you because we know that God's Word saves. And right here as we wrap up today, we're going to offer what we call an invitation. It's an invitation to be saved. It's an invitation to surrender to the Word of God. If you have read God's Word already, I know I haven't spent time in this lesson convincing you of the gospel itself, of Jesus' death on the cross and the salvation that He offers you. But I know I'm talking to some people who already know that and haven't made that decision yet. So if we can help you surrender to Jesus Christ today, to confess Him as Lord, to be baptized in water, immersed, raised to walk in a new life, if we can help you with that this morning, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing.